Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this conference. It's such an awesome place. It's just so good to get away and just to be with your body, Lord, to be with family and just to be able to let our guard down and worship you and just to learn of your greatness and your ways, Lord. And we just want to give you glory and honor and praise that is all due you, Lord. And we just really ask that this time we take right now, that it wouldn't be wasted time for anyone. Pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd stir up within us, Lord, the things you've given us. And Lord, we just pray you'd open our hearts to great things even now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a topic I can't believe how often I get asked to speak this, because this was something Dave made mandatory in the Bible school. And I used to hate that, because all the students had to come to my class, you know, and it was just like, I didn't feel like it was fair, but it was wild, because we would spend a whole semester on this topic, and we would spend time practicing this, and it was really, really a cool thing, because I just mainly felt like God showed me before we even started the Bible school, that was my job, just to make sure the kids that were coming to the school had every opportunity possible to get filled with the Spirit and to really learn how natural, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are and how natural the thing is with God speaking to us. I came to the Lord. I was up in Alaska. I was a drug addict, but I mean, I was pushing drugs. I was always taking drugs up to Alaska, where I would triple my money selling it to the pipeline workers up there. And so when I came to the Lord, I was living in a street mission up there. I had to throw everything away that I had, you know, and I just had all this drugs. And, you know, God just wouldn't let me get away with passing it off to this guy and, you know, going, okay, that's done, you know. So 5 days before I was supposed to meet him, I had to get rid of that. And I had to live in this street mission up there. And so I wanted to go to a Holy Spirit church. I just knew, you know, I was raised in the Methodist church, and J. Vernon McGee said, and may I say to you, my brethren, if the Methodists were afraid of the Holy Spirit like they're afraid, no, if they're afraid of sin like they're afraid of the Holy Spirit, they'd be doing all right. I remember hearing that when I wasn't a Christian. I knew our church was screwed up somehow, you know. And so I was in this mission, and they would help you figure out what church to go to on Sunday if you didn't want to go to their chapel. And I said, I want to go to a Holy Spirit church, you know. So they were like, what? You know, and so they would just give me the phone and go, okay, I'm going to dial the numbers you ask them. I go, do you, you know, believe in the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is, I go, no, it's not that one, you know. So I got, you know, we called like 5, 6 different places, and I get this one. He goes, you know, as soon as I said that, they go, hallelujah, brother, God bless you, man, come on down. I go, yeah, this is the one, you know. So he like takes the address, and they send this Air Force guy out to pick me up on Sunday. And man, I'm telling you, they should have had, you know, crazy, wild Pentecostal church and, you know, flashing lights in front of it, because it was like anything went. And I remember sitting there, they didn't even really teach the Bible. They just kind of just taught ideas and screamed a lot and ran a lot. People were always running and had handkerchiefs. And so I just remember one time they prayed for me and even knocked me down. You know, I wanted to be slain in the Spirit, but I wouldn't go down. And the guy was like trying to push me down, and I was fighting him, and it wasn't real, you know, and I wasn't going to play. So the guy just goes, in the name of Jesus, and wham, just knocked me down, you know. So there I always thought, hearing the voice of the Lord and, you know, prophecy and all these things that they would teach, it was, you know, just weird. And I remember even sitting there and just thinking, while everybody else is prophesying, you know, I'm just thinking, how could I prophesy to really show them my prophecies better, you know. It's just like this competition of prophecy, you know. And you learn to get the reverb and the sweat, and, you know, it'd just be like, you know, just weird. So I remember sitting there one time thinking, man, if I could just float up to the ceiling in the Spirit and just prophesy from the ceiling, boy. These guys have realized, man, I am really spiritual, you know. Well, anyway, I moved from there. I lived in a street mission for 6 months in Seattle. actually a year and a half, but it was 6 months before I found the Calvary Chapel there. And the first time I walked into the Calvary Chapel, it was on a Wednesday night, and it was in 1982. So they were having these really cool afterglows, and they'd do it before the teaching. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, this is really cool, because everybody was so casual, you know. It was like where I was going to this wild Pentecostal. Everybody was wearing suits all the time, and, you know, there's just a lot of hype and show. And here everybody was so laid back and so casual, you know. But when it came to the things of the Spirit, I thought, you know, these guys need to turn it up a little bit. I was sitting there for a little while, and I was just thinking, Lord, is that why you have me here, you know? And I'm thinking, okay, you know. So just like during this quiet time, I just stood up and just went off in tongues. And I mean, I turned it up. I mean, I'm shaking, and I've got the reverb, and I've got the sweat, and man, I'm really going for it. And the next thing I know, somebody, like I got my eyes closed, you know, somebody comes up and starts talking to me, and I'm like, dude, man, you know, I'm prophesying, you know. And so I just turn it up more. Well, the next thing is somebody over on this side talking to me. The next thing I know, I started getting lifted up, and I thought, yes, this is happening, you know. And then I went sideways, and then the next thing I know, I'm going out the door, you know. It's like, that was my first time in a Calvary Chapel. I'm not lying. They'll let anybody be a Calvary Chapel pastor, man. Anyway, that night, two assistant pastors sat with me in the room next to where everybody else was and taught me 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And it's the first time in my life I'd heard a Bible study. I'd heard someone teach verse by verse. And it blew my mind. And I just thought, man, there's no way I can come back here. You know, I just thought this place is so right on, and these people are so cool, and I did that. You know, there's no way I'm coming back here. And the Lord just drew me back. I mean, it was just because there was so much love there, you know, and these pastors just teaching me this stuff. It was so cool, and I just thought, I got to hear more of this stuff, you know. So this is the thing that the reason why the Lord has me doing this at the Bible school, just because we do get a lot of kids that have been raised in bizarre stuff or freaked out or people that have never heard of this stuff in their life. And the Lord just goes, I want you to just, you know, show them both aspects and this whole thing that you hear Pastor Chuck always talk about, you know, and church that focuses on the gifts will blow up and one that's just focused on the law will dry up and, you know, together will grow up, you know, spirit and truth. And so we spend a lot of time just letting the Lord speak to us through this class. And it's a lot of fun. But as a result, I get asked all the time to come and speak on just this topic. It's like, you know, sometimes I just want to teach something else. And they're going like, hey, dude, you know that message on hearing the voice of the Lord? I'm like, yeah. Could you do that one? You know. But don't talk about, you know, how you stood up and went off in tongues. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Anyway, I want to start just by showing, first of all, let's just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is just basic stuff, but this is not only what God will speak through you to someone else as prophecy. This is prophecy, 1 Corinthians 15. 14, sorry. But it's also what God wants to speak to you and me personally. And if we're not letting him speak to us personally, it's going to be real hard for us to be able to represent him and speak to others, you know. And this is why this is so important. Chapter 14, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. This is what I need all the time. I need this. It's what my wife needs. And it's what we all need. And it's what the world around us needs. It needs to be comforted. The world is just looking for someone to build it up. But, you know, this can only be done through Jesus Christ and losing ourselves and, you know, being born again. But, you know, it tells us the Lord gave us his only son. What more won't he give us? So really, what I want to talk about is what more there is for us in the things of the Spirit. Turn to John chapter 10. That's just the key verse I like to hit on. But there's a word there that I want to show you in four other places. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read. One's the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. And, you know, Peter says the whole thing about we should be building tabernacles. And all of a sudden a cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly the voice came out of the cloud saying, now check this out. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. I want to show you four places where this same word here is used. The other one is where Jesus was before Pilate, and in verse John 18:37, Pilate said, "You are a king then." Jesus answered and said, "You say rightly so that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone," check it out, "who is of the truth hears," same word, "my voice." Now, people struggle with this whole thing of hearing, you know, the Lord's voice. When we moved to Germany 22 years ago, we were saying, well, you know, the Lord told us this or showed us this. And people were like, well, what are you talking about? How did God tell you that? You know, was it an audible voice? And, you know, aren't you the guy that got carried out of here? You know, I mean, people always just don't know how to deal with this kind of thing. What Jesus actually says in Revelations, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever hears my voice and opens the door will come and sup with him." It's the same word. And, you know, it's like if you are born again, if you, you know, heard the call and saw your sin, it's because the Spirit of God is showing you Jesus and you repent and you hear the voice of the Lord. So those are three of the places this word is used. The fourth is in John verse 27. This is really the key verse I want to just kind of echo on. Just in the first part, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." This word "hear" is akouhu, and it means to hear in various senses. When I saw that in the Strong's, it blew my mind, because the Lord, you know, doesn't necessarily, I've never ever heard an audible voice, but, you know, the way I hear people describe how God spoke to them and the way God speaks to me is so different sometimes. And yet God speaks to me in so many different ways. And, you know, it's like senses. When I saw this, it's like, wow, God gave us our senses, you know, and we get feelings locked up in our senses. And senses were something that God gave us to bless us. And this is how God speaks to us. And God could speak to me totally different right now in this very same time than he's speaking to you, but he's speaking to us. In the same way that radio waves and TV waves are going through this room, you know, we don't see them or hear them because we don't have a radio turned on or antennas up or power put into it. You know, if we did, we'd probably hear something, unless we're that far from nowhere. We're pretty far out here. I don't know, maybe we wouldn't hear anything. But I'll never forget, it was about probably 9 or 10 years ago my grandpa died. He was like 99.9 years old. And he was a cool guy. He was still leading a Bible, Saturday morning Bible study or prayer meeting on Saturday mornings at the church, Methodist church. But this guy was filled with the Spirit. And I went back to do with my brother, who's a Methodist minister, to do the funeral. And so I get back there, my mom, I didn't take a tie, you know, so I got to go and I got to buy a tie. And my mom, before I leave for the mall, my mom tells me something my brother said. And I am so stinking mad. I am so ticked off. I am so in the flesh. I don't even remember. It's like a 45-minute drive to the mall. I don't even remember the drive. You know, it's one of them things where you're sharpening your sword, you know, what you're going to say when you see this guy the next time, you know. And I was like, you know, just seething, man. And I guarantee if you saw me at the mall, I probably looked like a train engine, you know. Just, I was just like, and I was just wrestling with him. I was so ticked off. How could he say this, you know? And I was so, you know, put aside, you know, just, it was like, no way, you know, it wasn't even the truth, you know, and the next thing I know, this little old lady walks by me, and she smelled like my grandma. And immediately, like that, I'm hearing, it was like it was yesterday. I just got this vision of her grabbing me by the arms when I was like 7 years old, and she said, "Honey, last night your grandpa and I gave our lives to the Lord at the Billy Graham Crusade." And I sat down on this bench in the middle of the mall, and I started weeping like a baby. I mean, it was one of them things where you don't have any Kleenex, and, you know, it's like snot, you know. Yeah. From your nose to the floor, you know, and you're like, it's like, ah, you know. God, I'm sorry. And the Lord just moved my heart and showed me something that he wanted me to share at this funeral the next day for one specific person. And it was somebody that had been ministered to by my grandpa his whole life and had never given his life to the Lord. And because of listening to the Lord and getting this impression and realizing what the Lord wanted me to share, this guy came up after the funeral. We stood right beside the open casket of my grandpa, and I led this guy to the Lord. It was crazy. All because some little old lady walked by me, and she probably had Avon on or something like that, you know? And it just triggered my senses. She just smelled like my grandma smelled. So to me, this is just so cool because it just opens it up for how the Lord can speak to us, you know? And the Lord wants to speak to us so that he can speak to others, exhortation and comfort and edification. But it's interesting what it says here. Notice this verse is a real balanced thing here. He says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Remember the first time I read this, I thought that was kind of, shouldn't that be turned around the other way? Shouldn't it say, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me"? But no, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." That right there is what stops a lot of us from hearing the voice of the Lord. Because we don't think he knows us. And we think, you know, if he really knew us, he wouldn't be speaking to me. But the Lord's saying, I know you, man. I knew you before you were born. I know your sin. I know your secret place. I know your failures. I know your failures next week. And yet you're the apple of my eye, and I gave my only son for you. What more won't I do for you? I know you, the Lord says. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every hair that's not on our head, for some of you guys. He knows us. And that's a freeing thing, you know, to realize, you know, he knew us, you know, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And as he looked at us, you know, before he carrying the cross, it was the joy that took him, you know, that helped him to endure the cross, knowing that he was going to set us free. He's a high priest. You know, he's not a high priest. He can't sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted in all things, yet without sin. That's our hope. He knows us. And he's speaking to us. And the real key is what it says next. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." That's the key right there. If you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, it's because God wants you to do something. That's what a lot of us are, you know, afraid of sometimes. We're afraid of what he's going to tell us to do, like go to Germany, go to Africa, or stay where you are. Be faithful in the small things. We don't want to hear that. You know, sometimes God will show us, you know, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. And we're like looking up here and we're going, whoa, that's where it's at there. You know, I don't want step 10. I want step 47. That's cool. Now, if I'm there, everything's going to be really cool. And you know, that can stop us from getting there. Because the Lord tells us that if you're faithful in the small things, he will raise us up to be faithful over many. And until we are willing to take that place right where we are right now, step 10 or step 11, he's just going to keep bringing us back to that and keep bringing us back to that and keep bringing us back to that. And he's going to keep speaking to us in many different ways. And he's going to keep sending little old ladies by us with Avon and, you know, maybe skunks. I don't know. There's something that's going to trigger our senses, you know, so that he can speak directly to our hearts and show us specifically right now, today, what it's all about. That's a cool thing about the power of God. You know, it's for today. It's for the time right now. You know, everybody believes in the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea, and they have no problem with power in the past, and we don't have problems with the future and the rapture and things that God says he'll do. But right now, do we believe him right now that he can use us to speak to someone or that he can speak to us? And you know, when Jesus was speaking to Martha when he was on his way to Lazarus, he says, "Don't you believe in the resurrection?" She goes, "Yeah, we believe in the resurrection." And he said, "I am." She goes, "On the last days that we will all rise, you know." And he goes, "I am the resurrection." He used the same words that he used at the burning bush with Moses. "I am." Right now is the power and the glory. Right now he wants his will to be done here on earth as in heaven. Right now. Right where we are. And it's where we take that and we're able to say, "Okay, God, I'll do this," you know. Love what James Eliot said. He said, "It's not what I don't have that stops me from being effective for the Lord. It's what I think I need." Man, I'm telling you, I lived that one. And the Lord's not going to say to us, you know, "What did you do with what I gave him?" He's going to say, "What did you do with what I gave you?" Let me ask you something. What's the Lord asking you to do right now? What thing is there that you know, that you know, that you know without a doubt, God's telling you to be faithful on this? Because that could be the next key to God raising you up to be faithful over many. And it could be the stumbling block that's keeping you from being raised up. The Lord wants to raise us up. With this in mind, that we speak his comfort and his exhortation and his edification to others. Rarely have I don't think I've ever been used in the Spirit to rebuke anyone. God's just never called me to do that. I've done it many times. But I don't think God has ever called me to do it. And maybe God will, you know, do that with some of us that have the love that can do it. I actually have a guy on my staff that I let do those things because he loves people more than I do. And he can give them, you know, hard things in love and concern. I pray for that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. You know, this is just in the Greek, this various senses. But I want to show you, I read reading through the Bible, I came across this and it blew my mind because it was really kind of one of these prayers I was just subtly always asking and always thinking about. It's like, "Lord, you know, if this is really, really what I'm hearing, you know, if this is real, then show me in the scripture." And this has it all tied up in it. It's Hebrews 5:14. It says, great, I'm getting a call from somewhere in the universe. Yes, God. I don't want to turn this up because this is the only time I have. Go away. What's that?
Flight function.
There you go. It's okay. He's gone. 5:14. Notice this. What it says in the very first part of the verse. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. Check that out. That's sanctification. Sanctification is a process of being made holy. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we were justified. It's just as if we'd never sinned. But that is, you know, as we're babes in the Lord. There's a process that begins from that point on, and it's called sanctification. And that's what this is talking about. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. You know, these babies that are being nursed on mother's milk, it's a precious thing. It's a very precious thing. But when a 40-year-old man has to do that, there's something weird about it. It's sick about it. Sorry for that word picture, but this is what it's talking about. You know, there was my whole life I grew up even with elders in our church that would claim they were 30, 40, 50 years old in the Lord, and yet they act like babies. They act like little teenagers spiritually. There was no maturity to them. There was no fruit. There was no growth. And he, notice what he puts this with. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Process of being made holy. It's learning to exercise the things of God. You have to exercise listening to the voice of God. It's a gift that he gives us. It's given to us, you know, the prophecy. I think most of us, especially if you're a pastor, teacher, I hope you have that gift. And I think this is one of those gifts that God just lavishes upon us because it's a powerful gift. But we need to exercise these things. So notice what he says also at the end. It's our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, that's very important as a young Christian. To just sense this isn't right. Or to sense this is what I need to be doing. But you know what? Stuff when we're baby Christians, that's one thing. But to be mature and to be growing in the Lord's going to start dealing with things in our lives that the world would look at and just think we're nuts. We're idiots. Yet to God, this is very important. I really believe where Isaiah is standing before the Lord and he's going, woe am I, I'm a man of unclean lips because I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. And the Lord takes the coal from the altar and touches his lips. You know, I think Isaiah had to come to that place many other times after that. Because God doesn't deal with everything at one time. If he does, it'd be just too much for us. And, you know, I think whatever you come to God with and you're really, with all your heart, opening your heart and saying, God, forgive me for this, God will take the coal and he'll purify that thing in our lives. We've got to take the masks off with God. And God will allow us to do that to the extent we can handle it. And that's being faithful in the small things more than anything we'll ever do. And that's where we can now turn to those with us in the fellowship or in our family or next to us, the closest to us, and we can, you know, be real and take the mask off with others. But it's a thing that we have to exercise. It's something that we have to put into motion. It's something we have to practice. It's something that has to become a part of our lives. Knowing God knows everything and I'm cool with that, and Lord, man, I'm sorry today. You know, take this today and help me fight this thing, Lord. Help me fight this evil. Even if it's just some small thing that the world would laugh at. Lord, this is wicked. And man, this is where we grow and where we're able to be lifted up and to be raised up to be faithful over many. In Acts chapter 13, this is where, you know, the Lord sets apart Paul and Barnabas. We see sanctification going on there. Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Okay, the best definition I've ever heard of fasting is to deny self to get closer to God. And that's a tough one. People say, well, how do you minister to the Lord? I don't know why. In Germany especially, they have a real problem with that. There's some kind of mental block about the lesser blessing the greater, you know. And yet the Lord, you know, right here shows us that they were ministering to the Lord. And how they were doing that was they were decreasing so that he could increase. They were getting out of the way and taking their hands off so that he could get in there and put his hands on. And that's what he loves to do. And he wants to do that through every one of us. You know, it tells us in Hebrews, you know, that our faith, I'm going to talk about some of this stuff also on Friday. So I'm sorry about that, but. You know, it tells us in Hebrews, I think chapter 10, it talks about us having faith in a God that we can't see. But yet as we grow in our faith in God who we can't see, our faith begins to have substance. That's basically what it's talking about there. And what happens is someone who can't see God around us, but yet they look at us and they can see the substance of our faith in God who can't believe, and they see God. David talked about tasting God and seeing that he's good. That's what the Lord wants to do. That's why this practicing this is so important, because it allows God to speak through us and to allow others to be touched and to be moved. And it's just a normal, everyday type of thing. It's not some weird thing. That's why I think Calvary Chapel is so successful at reaching the lost, because we don't do weird things and we just, you know, dress like everybody else. And, you know, people are able to just come in and go, wow. We had a testimony at our last week. We had a church retreat, and there was a lady from Brazil who's been in Germany for 8 years now, and her husband. And she got up and told the testimony of how she came to the Lord at our church and how he started coming just because we had a coffee bar and he liked latte macchiatos, you know. And that's the only reason the guy came for 2 years. And finally, he got saved. She couldn't believe he would come, and she never once asked him to come. But, you know, I mean, God can even speak through a latte macchiato. I mean, how cool is that, you know? And yet, it's just something that God wants to do. He wants opportunities to be able to speak to people. So here they are ministering. I don't know where that came from. They were probably ministering in the coffee bar. And they fasted, and noticed the Holy Spirit said. Now this is very cool, because it says they prayed for Paul and Barnabas and sent them off. Really, the next verse says that the Holy Spirit sent them off. That's awesome. They prayed, laid hands on them, and sent them, but then the Holy Spirit sent them off. But the word here for speak is really interesting. It's epo. It's a primary verb. It means to speak or say by word or writing. So again, it can just come from just reading God's word. Maybe somebody just quoted a verse, you know. And somebody else goes, yeah, you know, this morning I was just praying and this came to mind. And it was just someone else speaking it out, or just from seeing it on paper, you know. God can speak to us. So it's so cool how normal this can be. And yet how powerful it can be. And when it comes to practicing it, I want to show you where Jesus practiced it. Okay, now if Jesus had to practice these things, I think we're going to have to. Check out Isaiah chapter 50. This is speaking of the Messiah, but if we have Jesus in our lives, I believe it's speaking about us. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." Right there you go, man. 1 Corinthians 14:3. To speak to someone who is weary. "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." You know, they were all the time looking for Jesus. They'd wake up and he'd be gone. They're like, whoa, man, where'd he go? You know, and they're like running around. They'd find him out in the rocks, you know. Seeking the Father. I mean, he knew the Father. And just couldn't wait to be with him. He was always seeking him. But yet it tells us here that he had to have this ear of the learned, that he would know how to speak a word in season. Yeah, it reminds me of Proverbs, where it tells us that a word rightly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. That's the kind of thing God wants to do. You know, it tells us that he gives us gifts, these treasures in our hearts, new and old. You know, I have stories I tell my church, and they all know them for 20 years. Some of them have heard them. But they love hearing them, because they're treasures of the Holy Spirit that he's worked in my life. But you know, while I'm sharing sometimes, boom, man, he gives you a brand new treasure. Something brand new that you're allowed to bring out and go, whoa, look at that. And everybody's going, whoa, you know. It's so cool when God does that. And that's from having the ear of the learned and awaking morning by morning and giving God the opportunity, practicing our senses, exercising our senses, so that the Lord can speak to us and that the Lord can give us that sense of his presence. And we go, okay, something's going on here. What do you want, Lord? You know, I mean, I used to remember when I lived in the street mission, just talking to guys and all of a sudden going, oh, you know, okay, the Lord's here. Lord, just go ahead, you know. And the next thing you know, the whole conversation gets turned to the Lord. And now today I'll be preaching, you know, from the pulpit. I'll have notes, and sometimes I just have to set the whole notes aside and just not even teach one thing that's in the notes. Or maybe God will just kind of curve through the notes, you know, and then come back to them. But he wants to have that opportunity. He wants to be able to, you know, give us this ear of the learned, that morning by morning we're awakening and we're just allowing him to breathe life into our lives so that we can speak these powerful things. Don't turn there. Just let me read this. I just want you to listen to this. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. Isn't that cool? Just keeps going on and on and on. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I love where Elijah's having a pity party, you know, and God goes, okay, it's time to go up on the mountain. Go up and just wait up on the mountain. I'm going to show you who I am, you know. And the Lord walks by, you know, and there's this earthquake. Man, I don't know how many times I wanted to have that earthquake, to be speaking, and it's all of a sudden this earthquake. I remember, how many know who Bob Hoekstra is? You know, he's got this real mellow voice. You know, he's really totally mellow guy. Never forget, he was speaking at the castle one time, and he held up the Bible, and he goes, "And this is the authority. It is all in the authority of God's word." And all of a sudden, this lightning bolt strikes beside the castle. I mean, it was like 3 foot from the tower, you know. And he was standing there going like this, you know, and everybody starts laughing and he goes, "Oh Lord, let that lightning bolt follow me around the world." It would be so cool. You go out and preach on the street, you know, he's like, "Repent!" You know. What? It's as long as it's not my clothes. Lord, don't let that happen. Through various senses. So, you know, it wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. You know, the things that are splitting the rocks, the wind. He goes, "It's none of that's me." That church that I was going to up in Alaska, they were teaching those were the things of God. Those were the things that God, how God would speak. You know, and you could take classes and learn how to bring on the earthquake, you know. And then it says that he hears this still small voice. And it says that he took the only thing he had, he took his mantle, took his coat, and he just wrapped his face in it. Yes, it's like one of those moments where you just, you just don't have any Kleenexes. God. You just realize how real God is. Man, we need that. I mean, just experiencing that on your own, you can now take it, you know, to someone else. It's like Isaiah, he's like, whoa, you know, there's holy, holy, holy. He's like, wow, man, I'm of unclean lips, you know. And everything up until that point, up to chapter 6, he's like, woe are you, woe are you, woe are you. And in chapter 6, he's going, woe am I. And from that point on, he becomes this powerhouse. Because he's just experienced the presence of God and the glory of God. And it was this still small voice. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. This really became a very important thing for me because for years I heard the voice of Satan. And for years I heard my voice. And to hear the voice of the Lord. When I went back to Calvary Fellowship, it's the Calvary Chapel up in Seattle, I went back the second time. I waited outside until the worship started so I could sneak in. And everybody's standing. It was in this music room of a high school. I had it all planned out, how I could get in there and nobody see the weird guy that got carried out the week before, you know. And so they're all standing there singing away, man. They were just singing. The roof was about to blow off. And so I go in and I walk in the side door and I go around to the back and I sit down in the corner on the floor because it was a round, you know, it was a band room. So they had these round tiered things and you could sit in the corner where there was no chair. And I remember just sitting there and just watching everybody and just thinking of the Bible study that I just heard from these guys the week before. And I'm like, just going, this is so precious, you know, this is so beautiful. And it was really a time when the Spirit was moving. It was kind of like, you know, these afterglows of the Jesus movement. And our pastor there in Seattle, he was really powerfully used during the Jesus movement with the band that he had. And so it would get quiet and there would be somebody that would read a scripture and it would just like cut to the heart. It would just be so, it would be like the Lord speaking it, you know. And then they'd sing another song and then I remember somebody, you know, sharing a need they had for work and somebody saying, I'll give you work, you know, and they went outside and exchanged addresses. And there was the Robert Case Band. It was this band that used to travel coast to coast in a school bus, and they were from Seattle, and they were home for like a month or so, and Robert just stands up right in the middle of the service, and he just starts singing a new song to the Lord. I mean, somebody had to tell me later that's what it was. You know, the Bible talks about having a new song to the Lord. He would just stand up. He just had this gift. He'd just start singing this jingle, and before, you know, it was over with, everybody was singing it. And it wasn't anything that anybody wrote down or anybody prepared beforehand. It was just really cool things like that going on, you know. And I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, man, I am the scum of the earth. I am such a weirdo. I am, you know, I'm like, what? You know, I just need to get out of here before they recognize who I am, you know. Because these people are so cool and I am so uncool. And I remember just thinking, okay, that's it. When the next song starts, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to walk out. And all of a sudden, it got quiet. And I can just remember, like yesterday, it was a voice on this side of the room, and it was some young girl. And she says, someone is here tonight, and Satan is telling them that they're not as good as everybody else. And I'm like... I'm hearing Satan, you know, I'm like, what? And I'm going, you know, and she's going, God wants you to know that you're no different than anybody else here. I mean, this girl is exercising this gift of exhortation and edification and comfort that God had given her. And it was the voice of God to me. And she goes, God wants you to know that this is where he wants you, and he loves you. That was it. I remember just, man, snot everywhere, you know. I remember somebody came over and laid hands on me, and then they kind of went, you know, like, ugh, you know. Somebody started throwing Kleenexes at me, you know. It was like the voice of God. And I wrapped my face in my mantle. I moved into the church not long after that. I became their janitor, and they let me fix up this room up on the fourth story of an old condemned building. It was pretty cool. And I would just go up in there in the room, and I would just sit there, and I would just read the word, and I would just sit, you know, in the corner and just go, Lord, speak to me. And I started realizing how much, when I would get quiet and I would just listen, how much garbage is up here. Whew, man. And this verse helped me out. This made it very clear. Matthew 16, verse 15. Jesus says, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, and he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona. Check it out. First thing we hear in our head. For flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You didn't get that from your own thoughts. Didn't come from your own knowledge. You know, or it says the wrath of man cannot accomplish the will of God. You could actually, in context, translate that to say the best man can do can't do it. So our flesh and blood will never glorify God. And then he says, but my Father who is in heaven. Whew, there's the second one. My Father in heaven just spoke to you, Peter. You bonehead. You know? My Father just spoke to you. You just heard my Father in heaven. And then he goes on and tells him what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And down in verse 23-22, Peter took him aside and he rebuked him and he said to him, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. How many have ever heard the voice of Satan? I got scars on my wrists to prove I've heard this, the voice of Satan. How many have ever heard yourself? Every day, 24/7 sometimes. It's like, would you just shut up? You know, how do you shut me up? You know, get thee behind me, you know. It's like, ugh. And I do this thing in the class that really blows the students' minds. I'll bring in a table and I'll drop coins. I'll say, okay, I believe nowhere else in the Bible do you see anything like this. And you know, I don't think there's anything else in there. It's like, you know, we walked in the cool of the day in the garden, you know, and spoke face to face with God, you know. And we had this, like, communication thing, you know. And Satan came in and he broke that. You know, it's like the enigma, you know. He broke it. And now he can get in on those channels and he can speak to us. How many of you have heard the voice of God? Amen. Praise God. And that's the cool thing, is that to me is exercising the senses and being able to just take time. And this is work, man. Paul talks about prayer being work. I think, you know, our greatest prayers are just listening. And just sitting there and just going, no. Nope. You know, and all of a sudden the Lord speaks. And it's like apples of gold and settings of silver. And the next thing you know, I just never forget the first time. It was like after about 4 nights of practicing this, you know, all of a sudden the Lord just goes, I love you. You know, I had Kleenexes that time. Like, you know, praise you, Lord. And you know, I don't know how many times the Lord has allowed me to speak that to someone else. While I'm preaching, people just hear it and I don't even say it. And it's because God just moves into our being and he uses us. And that's what he wants. And he just needs us to be faithful in the small thing so that he can be faithful over many. You know, when I drop these coins, I show them. You know, this coin sounds like this. 1 euro, 1 euro, 1 euro. Then I do, you know, 50 cents, 50 cents, 50 cents. And I do, you know, but I do it first and I don't let them see them. And I tell them, okay, after 3 times, I go, write that down. What was it? You know, and then I do it with another coin. Then I do it with another coin. Then I go, okay, now let's practice them. I drop 1 euro, 1 euro, 1 euro. And then we do 50 cents. Then we do 20 cents. Then I go, close your eyes again. And they already wrote them down, you know, the first time. And then I do the same coins in the same way I did them the first time. And I go, okay, how many got the you know, the first time I dropped it, it was a 1 euro. How many got that right? And they're all going, oh, man. And, you know, maybe a third of the people, maybe, if that, will raise their hands. I go, you know what? The last time I did it, it was 1 euro. How many got that right? The whole room raises their hand. It's just wild. It's like if you practice it, you can get it, you know. I believe you can practice this. I believe you can sit down like a radio and you can plug in, get the power going. You can get the tenors. Maybe the tenors are like broke, you know. You can let the Holy Spirit fix them. You get tuned in. He's got to tune in to the Lord. And he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us comfort and exhortation and edification. Because he wants to use us to speak the same to others. He wants that so much. He's longing to speak to this world. And that's why he's called us to be pastors. So that we don't just read them a Bible study, but we get up and we speak to them apples of gold and setting of silver. And we let God through us say, I love you. They need to hear that so much. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your truth. And we thank you for your word. And we just thank you for speaking to us. And I just praise you, Lord, that You're so faithful even when we're unfaithful. Where else are we going to go? Like Peter, we say to you, where else are we going to go, Lord? Who else has words of eternal life? There's none like you, Lord. And we just give you praise and honor and thanks. And we just say, Lord, speak to us. Teach us your voice. Teach us your ways. And help us, Lord, I pray for every one of us here today. Help us to be faithful in the small things. So that you can continue to raise us up to be faithful, faithful over many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.